Anyone remember anything from yesterday's class? Mr. Sankirtan Prabhu. He got woman's body because he was thinking of his wife. Yam yam bhavi smaram bhavan tyajan yante kalayram tam tam evati kanteya saratan bhava bhavata. This is the truth. This is the principle that what one is thinking of when one leaves one's body, that determines one's next body. One's consciousness determines one's next body. How many of you are satisfied with your consciousness today and you are ready to transfer your body and go on? Anyone? No one? Yes? Very, very good. Anyone remember anything else from yesterday? When I was 21, I wrote Prabhupada a letter, maybe not 21, but maybe 22 or 23, and I told Prabhupada that I was going to remain a brahmachari. I was very young. And he replied, "Very good, because if you remain a brahmachari, your life is simpler, because you only have to worry about one mind." He didn't say that part. That is what I say. You have to worry about one mind and keeping that under control, and you don't have to worry so much about finances. Because you can stay anywhere, practically speaking. So his conclusion, or what he told me, is that brahmachari life is simpler. It's easier to stay focused on what one actually wants to achieve in one's life. And this is something we should think about. What do we wish to achieve during our life? We should have quite a clear idea of what we actually want through this life. But Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is so powerful that one can advance or become Krishna conscious or remain Krishna conscious from any position. Any position. Because in Krishna consciousness, if one is thinking, and Prabhupada will explain this even today, that bhakti means placing Krishna in the center. And once one has actually placed Krishna in the center, and is thinking, how can I please Krishna, and makes that the center of one's thinking and discriminating, then everything can be turned favorable because it is being used in Krishna's service. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandha Yukta Vairagya Uchite. The material world and everything in it, It is very dangerous because we attempt to continuously lord it over the material world. But for one who is advanced, yukta vairagya, he sees everything as Krishna's. He sees everything as Krishna's. So there is no question of not using something that is Krishna's in Krishna's service. So then, Vishwapona Sukhayate, the whole universe, if one is in that consciousness, becomes very joyful. So, although Paranjana took his birth as the daughter of the king of Vidarbha, she was a great devotee. She was well placed, and due to his piety, and by great fortune, as we shall hear right now, she married a great, great devotee. So this is text 29. Upayeme viryapanam vaidharbha malaya dhwaja yudin nirjitya rajanyan panya para paranjaya. We'll read a translation and then from most of Prabhupada's purport. It was fixed that Vaidarbha, the daughter of King Vidarbha, was to be married to a very powerful man, Malayadwaj, an inhabitant of the Pandu country. After conquering other princes, he married the daughter of King Vidarbha. From Prabhupada's purport, Malayadwaj signifies a great devotee who stands as firm as Malaya Hill. So that's Malaya, and Dwaja means flag. So he stands as firm as Malaya Hill, very fixed, and through his propaganda makes other devotees similarly as firm. Such a Mahabhagavat can prevail over the opinions of all others. His opinion will defeat the opinions of others because of his purity, his strength, and his fixedness. A strong devotee makes propaganda against all other spiritual conceptions, namely jnana, karma, and yoga. What do you find, if anything, interesting in that statement? Yes? Jnana, karma, and yoga? Okay, what else? And yes? A strong devotee makes propaganda against all other spiritual conceptions. All other spiritual conceptions. Why?
To establish real bhakti.
Yes, to establish real bhakti, because truly that is the only true spiritual conception. And what does real bhakti mean? What is and the actual spiritual path is Sarvadhamam Pratyaja Mamekam Saranam Raja. That one has to give oneself to Krishna, and there is such a tendency to become sidetracked, pushed from the actual spiritual path of giving oneself to Krishna, and get involved deeply in anything that distracts us from giving ourselves to Krishna. This is the tendency of a conditioned soul, or rather, this is the tendency of Maya. Maya, her attempt is always to distract us from this one thing. The one thing is giving ourselves to Krishna, serving Krishna with great devotion, bhakti, surrendering to Krishna, saranagati, vyavya satmika buddhi, ekeha kuranandana. And why does Maya do that? Because if one is ekeha, if one is focused on Krishna, then one is released from the grips of Maya by Krishna's mercy. Mameva te papadyante maya metan tarantite. Otherwise it's impossible to get out of the grips of Maya. So this is what it means to actually be a strong devotee, to be fixed in this concept of surrender to Krishna. I'm giving myself to Krishna. It comes up very interestingly. These purports are quite interesting. The whole mood of the text and the purports is shifted now. Gone is the foolishness and the suffering of Paranjana. Now, we are moving in a different direction, the direction of attachment to Krishna. Prabhupada continues. And the monkeys continue. Everyone continues. But which way are we continuing? We should continue to Krishna, of course. So with his devotional flag unfurled, That's the dwaja part of Malaya dwaj. He always stands fast, very strongly, to conquer other conceptions of transcendental realization. Whenever there is an argument between a devotee and a non-devotee, a pure, strong devotee comes out victorious. The word panya comes from the word panda, meaning knowledge. Unless one is highly learned, he cannot conquer non-devotional conceptions. The word para means transcendental, and pura means city. The parapura is Vaikuntha, the kingdom of God, and the word jaya refers to one who can conquer. This means that a pure devotee who is strong in devotional service and who has conquered all non-devotional concepts can also conquer the kingdom of God. So the first battles that one has to fight before one takes on the rest of the world and the karmis and the gyanis and the yogis and the materialists and the impersonalists and everyone. First we have to, clearly, we have to conquer the non-devotional conceptions within our own consciousness. This is a great battle. A great battle is fighting with one's mind, which tends so strongly to become attached to non-devotional things. So strongly. So to become fixed that I am Krishna's servant, I am not anything else, I'm not my body, I'm not my mind, I'm not an American, I'm not a male, I'm not this, I'm not 57, soon to be 58 years old, I'm not this, I'm not that, but I am Krishna's servant, servant of Prabhupada. So to really become fixed in that conception takes great strength, because Maya will test us to see if we are Vyavya Satnika Buddhi or Bahushaka Tvanantasta, many branched or very firmly fixed. And if one actually becomes very focused and fixed and being a servant of Sri Guru and Gauranga, of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, then he can conquer the world, in fact. Prabhupada continues, in other words, one can conquer the kingdom of God, Vaikuntha, only by rendering devotional service. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is called Ajita, meaning that no one can conquer him but a devotee by strong devotional service and sincere attachment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is called Ajita, meaning that no one can conquer him but a devotee by strong devotional service and sincere attachment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, can easily conquer him. Easily. By what? Strong devotional service and sincere attachment. Strong devotional service, determined, fixed, nishtha. Fixed devotional service and sincere attachment. Sincere, is there insincere attachment? What's the difference between sincere attachment and insincere attachment? Yes, but really, really clear and focused. What's the difference? Yeah, both are correct, yes. That's the kind of thing I was thinking of. In other words, say if I have a... then it is sincere. And also it's pure. There is no, it's anyabhilasita sunyam gyanakama anavrita. Say if I have, a very, very fancy car. And that car, whenever I drive it down the road, it is so new. And what color is it?
Red.
Yes, exactly. It's red. Red car. And I'm very attached to it because it's giving me, everyone, when I go by, everyone says, oh, this man is very wonderful. Look at his wonderful car. So that's attachment. to something, but I'm still in the center. I'm still in the center, and I'm attached to it as long as it's giving me pleasure. Then if it gets smashed up, or something like that, or then I'm no longer attached to it. Because I'm still the center. Sincere attachment means attachment not for any other reason other than pleasing Krishna. So sincere attachment is pure devotion. And the problem always, always with performing devotional service is insincerity. I don't really want to please Krishna. I'm trying to move, perhaps trying to move the center of my existence from me to Krishna. Perhaps sincerely trying, but there is insincere parts too that are very, very determined to remain with my pleasure as the center, my peace, my happiness, my this, my me, instead of Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. But if one has strong devotional service and sincere attachment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, such a person can easily conquer him. Lord Krishna, Prabhupada continues, is fear personified for everyone. In what form is he fear personified? Death time. But he voluntarily agreed to fear the stick of Mother Yasoda. Krishna, God, cannot be conquered by anyone but his devotee. So the issue, of course, is how to become a devotee. And the whole process, the processes that we follow are meant to the change of heart, the change of heart to become an actual devotee. And amazingly enough, it's like, say if I'm trying to become a doctor, then one day I'll be a doctor, and I'll know I'm a doctor, I'm thinking I'm a doctor. But when one is progressing as a devotee, certainly one day one will see Krishna, perhaps if one is truly a devotee. But as one is progressing, one is becoming more and more painfully aware of how much non-devotional garbage is sitting in the heart. Desires, so many other desires. Anya bilasita purnam, full of material desires other than pleasing Krishna. So one becomes painfully aware of everything like that. And one becomes very, very careful. Just like if this room, now it looks quite clean. And when a room is quite clean, if you look around carefully, you can see, I can't even find any cobwebs. There's one over there, I think. But if one is very, very, very conscious about keeping the room very, very clean, keeping one's heart very, very clean, then one becomes very aware of every little bit of dirt in the heart, everything that pulls him away from Krishna, because he doesn't want the dirt. Perhaps now there's a part of me that wants to cultivate the material desires, but that is an insincerity in me. But when I'm mostly sincere, if that ever comes, then all the insincere material desires in the heart become very painfully obvious to me, and I don't want them. So what happens when we become aware, if Krishna could be conquered by strong devotional service and great attachment to Krishna, what happens when we become very, if one decides, I'm going to strongly perform devotional service and become attached to Krishna, then what one becomes aware of is that how weak one's devotional service is and how little one is attached to Krishna. So when one becomes aware of that, then what do we do? Yeah. And then, when we become humble? Before one can be humble, what's the stage before becoming humble? Before one becomes repentant, what's the stage before that? Before one becomes shocked. Huh? Okay, we get knowledge, and then you become humble. And what happens? You have to do something in between. You have to reflect, and you have to be very, very, very honest. Very, very, very honest. To see one's actual position, and it's so hard to be honest with oneself. Because we like to think of ourselves very great. This is Maya. But one has to be, then knowledge, and then we have to apply that knowledge to ourselves. And then we become honest, and then we become shocked, and then we lament all those things that everyone mentioned. And then we become humble. And then what do we do? Yeah, then we could actually really chant Hare Krishna like a baby calling for mother with full dependence. And that type of chanting, Edamana Manapum Pumam Tom Kinsana Goshara Dhanmai Sharya Siddhashibir Edamana Manapumam Na Eva Arhati Abhidattam Vai Tama Kinsana Goshara. When we understand our poverty, spiritual poverty, we don't have anything, we've given up the material world, we don't want something in the material world, and then we come to grips with we don't have anything in the spiritual world, that's the humble part, then one can call out to Krishna and really fully. And then Krishna will hear that call. Just like the mother, when the baby and mothers can hear the difference, even fathers can hear the difference. When a child is crying but they don't really mean it. Sometimes the child is in the room and you want the child to go to sleep and you just put them down and then you leave the room and they naturally cry. But they just don't want to go to sleep, no problem. And then you just let them cry for a few minutes, then they go to sleep. But there's a completely different sound vibration when there's some danger, some difficulty, and they really want their mother. It has such a piercing sense to it. So when our chanting is like that, then Krishna must immediately come. Must immediately come. Must. Why must he come? Because his devotee is calling for him and he must come. This is his promise. Okay, text 30. So this is King Malayadwaj and Paranjana, who is now the daughter of the king of Vidarbha, called Vidarbhi. King Malayadwaj fathered one daughter who had very black eyes. He also had 7 sons who later became the rulers of that tract of land known as Dravida. Thus there were 7 kings in that land. Purport. Now, this is an interesting purport by Prabhupada. King Malayadwaj was a great devotee. What was he? And after he married, and what did we hear about him so far? He was a preacher. Yes? He was a preacher and he challenged Mahabhagavat, and he challenged any other process and was victorious. He was fixed like a hill is fixed. So he gave her one nice daughter whose eyes were black. Figuratively, this means that the daughter of King Malayadwaj was also bestowed with devotional service, for her eyes were always fixed on Krishna. A devotee has no vision in his life other than Krishna. The seven sons are the seven processes of devotional service: hearing, chanting, remembering, offering worship, offering prayers, rendering transcendental loving service, and serving the lotus feet of the Lord. Of the nine types of devotional service, only seven were immediately given. The balance, friendship, and surrendering everything were to be developed later. In other words, devotional service is divided into two categories, namely Vidhimarg and Ragamarg. The process of becoming friends with the Lord. So what does Vidhimarg mean? Rules and regulations. And what does Ragamarg mean?
Spontaneous
devotion or attachment. Attachment. Spontaneously attached to Krishna. So what was described before was, seems to be the detachment in Paranjana's life, detachment from the bodily concept, and now the process of becoming attached to Krishna. So Vidhimarg leading to attachment to Krishna. The process of becoming friends with the Lord and sacrificing everything, Sakyam Atmana Vedanam, belongs to the category of Ragmarg, the stage of developed devotional service. For the neophyte, the important processes are those of hearing and chanting, Shravanam Kirtanam. What does neophyte mean?
Beginner.
And note,
Kanista,
apprentice. And notice what, in English, of course, the spelling isn't the same, but notice when there is a neophyte, there is always going to be fight. Within neophyte, there is fight. Why? Because he's a neophyte. A neophyte naturally wants to be the... So, the important for the neophyte, the important processes are those of hearing and chanting, Shravanam Kirtanam, remembering Krishna, worshipping the deity in the temple, offering prayers and always engaging in the service of the Lord and worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord. The word Yavi Yasha indicates that these processes are very powerful. So when we tend to say, oh, this is for neophytes, we tend to say, oh, I don't want to be a neophyte, so therefore if I do the most advanced things, that will mean I'm not a neophyte. But if a neophyte does more advanced things, he's a neophyte doing more, acting as if he wasn't a neophyte, is a neophyte. Because a neophyte doesn't have the detachment and attachment. Detachment from the bodily concept and attachment to Krishna. So the process of ending our neophyteness is by engaging in the process of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Parasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam. And these are very powerful, Prabhupada explains. And if he's able to secure these processes, he can later become a devotee capable of rendering spontaneous devotional service, namely Sakyam and Atmanivedanam. Generally, the great acharyas who preach devotional service all over the world begin to belong to the category of Sakyam Atmanivedanam. They have friendship for the Lord and they give everything to Him. A neophyte devotee cannot actually become a preacher. The neophyte is advised to execute devotional service in the seven other fields, Shravanam, Kirtanam, etc. So many times Prabhupada, by the Babaji types, they would criticize Prabhupada. Oh, someone is preaching, that's very, very nice. But then when one is advanced, one will do nirjan, one will just stay alone and just chant. And that's, a fact that when one is very advanced, one can stay alone and chant. But to do the powerful kind of preaching that Prabhupada did, this cannot be demeaned as being not advanced. Krishna Shakti Naivina Tarpavartana. This is empowered work. This is, Prabhupada is basically saying here that this is on the platform of Rag Marg, this kind of preaching. This is for the most advanced devotees, Prabhupada is saying. If one can successfully execute the preliminary 7 items, he can in the future be situated on the platform of Sakyam Atmanivedanam. The specific mention of Dravida Desh refers to the 5 Dravida Deshes in South India. All are very strong in rendering the preliminary devotional processes, Shravanam Kirtanam. Some great acharyas like Ramanuja and Madhvacharya also came from Dravida Desh and became great preachers. They were all situated on the platform of Sakyam Atmanivedanam. So they were, Prabhupada is saying, attached, had great attachment to Krishna and perfected on that level. Adi, could you look at, do you have a facility to look at the commentaries on this? Oh, that's right. Were you backed up? Because there's so many points there. I was wondering if... where Prabhupada, if he was referring to any of the commentaries of the Acharyas.
I remember I was checking this one time ago. I think Jiva Goswami is speaking about these.
Yes.
Some of the Acharyas are speaking.
Because Prabhupada does quote Jiva later on. So if there are any questions about that purport, maybe ask them at the end. My dear King, this is text 31. My dear King Prachini Barishad, the sons of Malayadwaj gave birth to many thousands and thousands of sons. So it's interesting how the son Paranjana gave birth to many, many thousands of sons, and those sons were what?
Desires.
Material desires. But all of these have been protecting the entire world up to the end of one Manu's lifespan and ever after. These sons were all great devotees. So this is a whole different level, parallel in some ways, but a different level. Prabhupada explains in his purport here, also an interesting purport. Also Prabhupada is going to speak about his own spreading of Krishna consciousness and some of his own life experiences here. He says, this is just right in the beginning, as one Manu follows another, the cult of Krishna consciousness is being imparted, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.1. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Imam Vivasvate Yogam Proktivanaham Abhiyam Vivasvan Manave Praha Manor Ishakave Bravit. The Blessed Lord said, I instructed this imperishable science of yoga to the sun god, Vivasvan, and Vivasvan instructed it to Manu, the father of mankind, and Manu in turn instructed it to Ichaku. Vivaswan, the sun god, imparted Bhagavad Gita to one Manu, and this Manu imparted it to his son, who imparted it to yet another Manu. In this way, the propagation of Krishna consciousness is never stopped. No one should think that this Krishna consciousness movement is a new movement. As confirmed by Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, it is a very, very old movement, for it has been passing down from one Manu to another. Prabhupada continues, among Vaishnavas, there may be some difference of opinion due to everyone's personal identity. And this point is going to come up in the next chapter, but when we go back to hear the prayers of Lord Shiva, in chapter 24, Prabhupada has some very interesting purports about cooperation and how naturally there's individuals and individuality, but the cooperation is extremely important and very pleasing, and it causes one to be blessed. Indeed, Prabhupada said when Tamal Krishnamaraj, when Prabhupada was very ill, he said, should we call all the devotees to come? Because everyone will immediately come because they love you, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada's response was, the test of how much they love me will be their cooperation after I leave. I'm paraphrasing a little. That is the most difficult thing to do, is cooperate. Very difficult in Kali Yuga. Very difficult. So Prabhupada, because individuality means that I have my own idea. By definition, this is what individuality means. So there's differences of opinion, Prabhupada says, due to everyone's personal identity. But despite all personal differences, the cult of Krishna consciousness must go on. We can see that under the instructions of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj began preaching the Krishna consciousness movement in an organized way within the past 100 years. The disciples of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj are all God brothers. And although there are some differences of opinion, and although we are not acting conjointly, we are not acting cooperatively and together, every one of us is spreading this Krishna consciousness movement according to his own capacity and producing many disciples to spread it all over the world. As far as we are concerned, Prabhupada is speaking about himself, we have already started the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and many thousands of Europeans and Americans have joined this movement. Indeed, it is spreading like wildfire. The cult of Krishna consciousness, based on the 9 principles of devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Parasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmavedanam, will never be stopped. It will go on without distinction of caste, creed, color, or country. No one can check it. The word bokshite is very important in this verse. Just as a king gives protection to his citizens, these devotees, following the principles of devotional service, will give protection to all the people of the world. The people of the world are very much harassed by so-called religious principled swamis, yogis, karmis, and jnanis, but none of these can show the right way to become elevated to the spiritual platform. There are primarily 4 parties spreading devotional service all over the universe. These are the Ramanuja Sampradaya, the Madhva Sampradaya, the Vishnuswami Sampradaya, and the Nimbarka Sampradaya. The Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya in particular comes from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All these devotees are spreading this Krishna consciousness movement very widely. Before we finish the sentence, note how, in this purport, how large Prabhupada's conception is of the Krishna consciousness movement. It includes the 4 sampradayas here. All these devotees, and just before he said that the from the south, the 7 principles, which are the principles of Vidhimarga, are very strong. So generally it's thought of that the Ramanuja Sampradaya and Madhva Sampradaya are those in the south. But all these devotees are spreading this Krishna consciousness movement very widely and giving protection to innocent people who are being so much embarrassed by pseudo-avatars, pseudo-swamis, pseudo-yogis, and others. False. Another interesting purport worthy of discussion. But let us continue now. If anyone has any questions or comments on those, especially those 2 purports, and actually there'll be more. So please note them, and we'll better ask them at the end. And I'll try not to talk too much so that we have time. Continuing in the story of Vidarbha and Malayadraj, The great sage named Agastya married the firstborn daughter of Malayadwaj, who had big eyes, blackish eyes, because she was always focused upon Krishna. The great sage named Agastya married the firstborn daughter of Malayadwaj, the avowed devotee of Lord Krishna. From her, one son was born, whose name was Dhridachyuta, and from him another son was born, whose name was Idmavaha. Prabhupada's purport. The name Agastya Muni is very significant. Agastya Muni represents the mind. The word Agastya indicates that the senses do not act independently, and the word Muni means mind. The mind is the center of all the senses, and thus the senses cannot work independent of the mind. Please listen to these sentences. I found them very interesting. When the mind takes to the cult of bhakti, that wasn't exactly the part. When the mind takes to the cult of bhakti, it engages in devotional service. The cult of bhakti, Bhakti Lata, is the first daughter of Malayadwaj. And as previously described, her eyes are always upon Krishna. One cannot render bhakti to any demigod. Bhakti can be rendered only to Vishnu. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. Thinking the absolute truth to be without form, the Mayavadis say that the word bhakti can be applied to any form of worship. If this were the case, a devotee can imagine any demigod or any godly form and worship it. This, however, is not the real fact. The real fact is that bhakti can be applied only to Lord Vishnu and his expansions. Therefore, Bhakti Lata is Dridhavrata, the great vow. For when the mind is completely engaged in devotional service, the mind does not fall down. Please note that. That when one's mind is engaged, so this is what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, manmana bhavabad bhakto, that one should engage one's mind in Krishna, on Krishna, and then become one's devotee. Mam anusmara yudhyacha, Krishna tells Arjuna. You think of me and fight. Do your duty and fight. Savai Krishna, mana pararavindayo. Maharaj Ambarish first absorbed his mind in Krishna and then his senses. Because the problem is obvious. That especially in the beginning, all we can do is absorb these senses in devotional service. But gradually we have to absorb the mind in devotional service. And gradually we have to keep the mind absorbed in devotional service. And this takes attachment to Krishna. We have to gradually become attached to Krishna. We want our attachment to Krishna to grow. And if we just engage our body, when someone first begins their Krishna consciousness, it's all so new. You get to shave your head, you get to wear very exotic clothes. Unless you're from India, then it's just everyone else is wearing them too or something. And then in the West, a new way of eating perhaps. And then one engages in the activities with the body, and this is required because first the body is engaged because it's easier to engage the body, the Bhagavad Gita describes, second chapter, I believe. The senses should be engaged in Krishna's service. But gradually, or quickly, if we are very expert and very sincere, and very fortunate, or have good purva sanskaras, the mind should be engaged on Krishna and become attracted and attached to Krishna. And then, the work we do with our senses, with our body, becomes much more a devotional offering to Krishna. I'm doing this for your pleasure, O Krishna. whatever it is that I'm doing, whether it's studying or teaching or singing or cleaning the temple room floor or distributing books or taking care of one's family or worshiping the deity or making garlands or typing or whatever, or preaching, it should gradually become a product of one's devotion. This is my offering. And as Krishna explains in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Chaitasya Savakamani Mai Sanyasi Matpura Bhuri Yoga Mukhasrita Matchita Satatam Bhava, that one should think of Krishna, because this is the one who we're serving. We are serving Him. Then it is seva, devotional service, not just service, but devotional service. And unless there is lots and lots of devotion in the service, it is not satisfying to the heart. So we have to, we should, we must, it is in our interest to increase our devotion. So how, then the question is, well, how to increase the devotion? So the whole process that we're talking about, the Shravanam, the Kirtanam, the Vishnu Smaranam, all the service is meant to increase our devotion, to increase our love for Krishna, to increase our appreciation for Krishna, to increase our attraction to Krishna, to increase our attachment to Krishna. And as we say, that this is natural, because jiva sarupoi Krishna nityadas. We are Krishna nityadas. We are servants of Krishna, but it is not forced servitude. It is natural. This is who we are, because we naturally love Krishna. So that natural love for Krishna should be evoked by the processes of Krishna consciousness. Shravanadi sudachitti korive udoy. Udoy means like the sun arises in the morning. It is natural. It is not created. The sun isn't created, it's natural, it arises, it's there. So similarly, by the process of Shravanadi, beginning with hearing, and the other processes that have just been described, then Koribe, the result is an arising, like the sun of Krishna consciousness in the heart. This is the process of Krishna consciousness. But it takes bhakti lata, or the bhakti process, or the bhakti, Prabhupada is using it here practically, is dridavrata, the great vow. It takes, no matter how I'm doing, no matter what's going on, I am Krishna's servant and I want to serve Him. Even apichet sudrat charo bhajate mama ananyabha. Even if one commits sudrat charo, terrible acts, that ananyabhak devotion, fixed devotion, causes Krishna to protect one. So, please listen to this sentence. Therefore, bhakti lata is dridavrata, the great vow. For when the mind is completely engaged in devotional service, the mind does not fall down. And this is the problem. The body, before the body falls down, the mind falls down. Those material desires that are sitting within the heart, they are cultivated. And then the mind is desiring those things, and therefore the body will very soon follow. So the cultivation is of material desires or spiritual desires is very much on the mental level, internal and also external. After. So if one tries to advance by other means, by karma yoga, jnana yoga, one will fall down. But if one is fixed in bhakti, he never falls down. So this is our desire to become fixed in bhakti. Fixed as a servant, fixed in bhakti. After this, the great saintly king Malayadwaj divided his entire kingdom amongst his sons. Then, in order to worship Lord Krishna with full attention, he went to a solitary place known as Kulachal. So what did he do? He had so many sons, he renounced the kingdom. And he went to a solitary place to worship Lord Krishna with full attention. Here is Prabhupada's purport. Malayadwaj, the great king, was certainly a Mahabhagavata, a topmost devotee. By executing devotional service, he begot many sons and disciples for propagating the bhakti cult, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. Actually, the entire world should be divided among such disciples. Everyone should be engaged in preaching the cult of Krishna consciousness. In other words, when disciples are grown up and are able to preach, the spiritual master should retire and sit down in a solitary place to write and execute Nirjan Bhajan. This means sitting silently in a solitary place and executing devotional service. This Nirjan Bhajan, what does Nirjan Bhajan mean? No people, doing one's devotional worship, all alone, basically alone. This Nirjan Bhajan, which is the silent worship of the Supreme Lord, is not possible for a neophyte devotee. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur never advised a neophyte devotee to go to a solitary place to engage in devotional service. Indeed, he has written a song in this connection. Dushtamana tumi kisher Vaishnava. O mind, wicked mind, what kind of Vaishnava are you? Pratishtara tare nirjanera gare. You go to a solitary place. But why? To gain pratishta, so everyone will say, oh, what a great and powerful, exalted devotee you are. Tava harinam. Your chanting of the holy names, kevala, completely, kaitava. What does kaitava mean? Cheating. My dear mind, what kind of devotee are you? Simply for cheap adoration, you sit in a solitary place and pretend to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. But this all is cheating. Thus Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur advocated that every devotee, under the guidance of an expert spiritual master, preach the bhakti cult. Krishna consciousness, all over the world, only when one is mature can he sit in a solitary place and retire from preaching all over the world. Following this example, the devotees of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness now render service as preachers in various parts of the world. Now they can allow the spiritual master to retire from active preaching work. In the last stage of the spiritual master's life, the devotees of the spiritual master should take preaching activities into their own hands. In this way, the spiritual master can sit down in a solitary place and render Nirjan Bhajan. So Prabhupada, in these purports, as you've noticed, the ones that we're reading today, they're very much personal, very personal. And because they're long purports, there's a lot of reading. Text 34. Just as the moonshine follows the moon at night, immediately after King Malayadwaj departed for Kulachal, his devoted wife, whose eyes were very enchanting, followed him, giving up all homely happiness despite family and children. Prabhupada, in his purport, says that disciples, even if they are fond of family life, should come forward in the service of the spiritual master and abandon so-called happiness afforded by society, friends, and beloved. And doing so will please one spiritual master, will please Prabhupada, and then that will cause advancement. And by doing that, one can attain the highest perfectional stage of devotional service. So what one shouldn't do is go alone and just chant, 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 chant. And what one should do to make advancement and to reach the higher platforms is please the spiritual master. And Prabhupada explained very clearly how by preaching. 35-36. In the province of Kulachal, there were rivers named Chandravas, Tamrapani, Vatodaka. And King Malayadwaj used to go to those pious rivers regularly and take his bath there. Thus he purified himself externally and internally. He took his bath and ate bulbs, seeds, leaves, flowers, roots, fruits, and grasses, and drank water. In this way, he underwent severe austerities. Eventually, he became very skinny. Important purport by Prabhupada. We can definitely see that to advance in Krishna consciousness, one must control his bodily weight. If one becomes too fat, it is to be assumed that he is not advancing spiritually. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur severely criticized his fat disciples. The idea is that one who intends to advance in Krishna consciousness must not eat very much. Devotees used to go to the forest, high hills or mountains on pilgrimages, but such severe austerities are not possible in these days. One should instead eat only prasad and no more than required. According to the Vaishnava calendar, there are many fasts, such as Ekadasi and the appearance and disappearance day of God and his devotees. All of these are meant to decrease the fat within the body so that one will not sleep more than desired and will not become inactive and lazy. Overindulgence in food will cause a man to sleep more than required. This human form of life is meant for austerity, and austerity means controlling sex, food intake, etc. In this way, time can be saved for spiritual activity, and one can purify himself both externally and internally. Thus, both body and mind can be cleansed. So, there are so many practical instructions by Prabhupada here. Don't go to the forest. Go and preach, but don't overeat. Control your senses. In this way, advance. But one should keep one's mind focused on the goal of advancing in Krishna consciousness, which means gaining attachment for Krishna. 37. Through austerity, King Malayadwaj, in body and mind, gradually became equal to the dualities of cold and heat, happiness and distress, wind and rain, hunger and thirst, the pleasant and the unpleasant. In this way, he conquered all relativities. So these are always changing, and he did this with his Dridha Vrata, by being focused on the Absolute very strongly. One conquers the relativities. Relativities means that those things that are always changing, it is relative to the time and place. But the Absolute is always the same, regardless of the time and place. So if we are focused on the relative atmosphere, the temporary, always changing atmosphere, we are always going, our consciousness will be always moved, and we will be always uncomfortable. Because everything is always shifting. Now we're happy, now we're sad, now we're cold, now we're warm, now we're this, now we're that. But if we're focused on Krishna, and that comes, it should come by attachment to Krishna, deeply, then the externals are simply external. So again, the emphasis really, he conquered all relativities by his deep focus on the Absolute platform, the spiritual platform, which was what Siddhanta Kumar, the emphasis in those chapters as well. So Prabhupada explains in his purport, Bhakti Yoga will automatically liberate a person from the dualities of life. In Bhakti Yoga, Krishna is the center, and Krishna is always transcendental. Thus, in order to transcend dualities, one must always engage in the service of the Lord, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Mam chayo vyavacharena bhakti yogena sevate saganan samatityaitan brahmabhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down in any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. 38. By worshipping, executing austerities, and following the regulative principles, King Malayadwaj conquered his senses, his life, and his consciousness. Thus, he fixed everything on the central point of the Supreme Brahman, Krishna. Same point, attachment to Krishna. In this way, he stayed immovable for 100 years by the calculation of the demigods. After this time, he developed pure devotional attraction for Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and remained fixed in that position. Prabhupada explains in the purport, not only must one come to the conclusion that Krishna is everything, but he must remain fixed in his realization. This is the highest perfection of life, and it is the perfection that King Malayadwaj attained at the end. To become fixed, steadily fixed, in taking shelter of Krishna. This is a great goal. 40. King Malayadwaj attained perfect knowledge by being able to distinguish the super soul from the individual soul. The individual soul is localized, whereas the super soul is all pervasive. So the soul and the super soul. He became perfect in knowledge that the material body is not the soul, but the soul is the witness of the material body. So three discriminations he made. The soul is not the body, and the super soul is not the soul. So the soul removes his identification from the body, and he identifies with the super soul, but not in the sense of he becomes the Paramatma, not in the sense he becomes the super soul, but in the sense that he becomes one in desire. He wishes to serve the desire of the super soul. In other words, he surrenders and he wants to serve Krishna. This is the heartfelt desire of his heart. He wants to serve Krishna. Why should we want to serve Krishna? It's our nature. Why else? He's wonderful. He's all attractive. We can't be happy in any other way. The leaves can't be happy if they water themselves. The fingers can't be happy if they try to get nourishment by themselves. Yes, we have to become convinced of this point, that when we can't be happy, it's our nature. We have to serve Krishna. We have to give ourselves to Krishna. And he's wonderful. He's all attractive. What does it mean that Krishna is all attractive? What attracts you? His qualities.
Opulences.
Be specific. He's strong. Strongest. He's the most clever. What else? What's an example of Krishna's cleverness? He stole butter and said, "You didn't steal any butter." He's the most clever. Cheated Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu thought he was clever. But Krishna is the greatest of cheats. One time in Hong Kong, there was a press conference, and the reporter asked Prabhupada, "What do you think of this Guru Maharaji, who was very prominent in those days, this Balakrishna Yogeshwar? He was very, very popular in the West. He was like a young boy, but he was teaching some type of a yoga." or something. But he was dishonest because he was saying he was saying that he was Krishna. So the reporter asked Prabhupada, "What do you think of him?" And Prabhupada said, "That's not our business to talk about others. Ask something about Krishna consciousness." And he asked again, the reporter asked again, and Prabhupada replied similarly. And then after the third time, the reporter was insisting, "What do you think of this Guru Maharaji, this Bhav Krishna Yogeshwar?" And Prabhupada finally said to the reporter what he would always say in private, that he's a cheater. A dog, even, he said. Prabhupada, he said he was a dog. A cheater. And he said, "But Krishna is the greatest cheater. And he will cheat him." And very soon after that, this Bhav Krishna Yogeshwar fell in love with his beautiful secretary, and then his mother became very angry at him because she wasn't even a Pukka Hindu, and she rejected him and said that he's no longer God, but now his elder brother was God. This is true. This actually happened right after, within a few months after Prabhupada said he's a dog and he'll be cheated.
And,
yeah. Yes, in Hong Kong. And then it made it into Time magazine, actually. Krishna is all attractive. Even he's the greatest cheater. He's the greatest at everything, the greatest at being beautiful, the greatest at having pastimes. You know which light is the one to put on a light, perhaps?
Thank you.
Yes, please. His pastimes are the most wonderful. His dham is most wonderful. The way Krishna dresses is most wonderful. What he does during the day is most wonderful. What does he do? Do you know? Huh? Do you know what Krishna does during the day? Do you know?
Yeah.
I also don't know everything. What? Tell me.
Yeah, well, he got rid of a lot of evil monsters who attacked Vrindavan.
Do you know the name of any evil monster that attacked Vrindavan and Krishna killed?
Well, I know his name.
Do you know his name?
No,
Agasura. Okay. He's a big snake, and Krishna killed him in a wonderful way. And he killed one demon after another in a wonderful way. He threw one demon, Balaram did, in a tree. But Krishna actually arranged that Balaram kill him. Because Krishna was thinking, "I've killed so many demons so far every day, but Balaram hasn't killed any yet. So we should give him a chance." So when they walked into the forest, Krishna walked behind Balaram. "Balaram, I'm the elder brother." He walked in first. And this demon challenged. He came and kicked Balaram in the chest. And Balaram just stood there in the shape of a donkey, an ass. And Balaram grabbed him by his legs, threw him in a tree, killed him. Cool. Huh? Dunukasura, yes. Yes, Krishna is all attractive. So we should learn to love Krishna. We have to become attracted by Krishna, otherwise we'll become attracted by the material world. So in this way, Malayadwaj, King Malayadwaj, this is the final text, attained perfect knowledge because in his pure state he was directly instructed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he was directly achieving, Krishna was directly telling him what to do. By means of such enlightened transcendental knowledge, he could understand everything from all angles of vision. We'll read Prabhupada's purport and then we shall stop and ask for questions. In this verse, the words Shakshat Bhagavat Uptena Gurena Harina are very significant. The Supreme Personality of Godhead speaks directly to the individual soul when the devotee has completely purified himself by rendering devotional service to the Lord. Could someone who has the folio look up 354, 3rd canto, 5th chapter, 4th verse? Tell me when you find it. English. Read it loudly. Loudly, loudly. Therefore, O great sages.
Please give me instruction.
Great sages. So Vidura speaking to Maitreya Muni. O great sage, give me instruction.
On the transcendental devotional service of the Lord.
On the transcendental devotional service of the Lord.
So that he who is situated in the heart of everyone
can be pleased to impart from within. So, knowledge of the Absolute Truth. So this is the process. He had perfected the process by which Krishna is inclined to instruct the devotee. So Prabhupada explains the relevant verse. He quotes, offers a quotation from the relevant verse in the purport. Tesham satatayuktanam bhajatam priti bhavagam. And then, on the Dami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yena Mamubhyante Te, that Krishna will give the Buddhi Yoga, the knowledge, the instructions by which one can come to him, but there has to be Bhajatam Priti Purvakam. One has to render devotional service with great love and affection. Bhajatam Priti Purvakam. Then Krishna will be inclined to instruct. This is for liberated souls especially. So Malaya Dwaj was receiving instructions from him directly from Krishna. Okay, thank you very much. I read so much again and you all were very attentive and I thank you. Not easy to sit for so long and yeah. So the question is this a contradiction where Prabhupada is saying on one that real preaching is done by those who are in the rock, this is the practice of Ragmarg practically for advanced devotees, and then he says that all his disciples should preach so that he can do near Dhanvada. So is that contradiction? Anyone is to respond? I tried to address that when I explained what kind of preaching Prabhupada was speaking of. The preaching done by the great acharyas, because he also later on said, practically Ramanuja Charja, those preachers have to be very fully deep, those who are really empowered like that. But anyone can preach. And everyone should preach, but anyone can preach just by repeating what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita in a simple way, speaking according to one's realizations. So there's different levels of preaching, although Prabhupada didn't specifically talk about the kind of preaching that he was referring to by someone who's really advanced, extremely advanced. This is what I assume. Being able to influence use the hearts of so many people is not done by an ordinary person. Krishna Shakti Nahidina Tarakavartana. It has to be a vase, Shakti of Krishna entering in to be renewed. And that's very advanced. But everyone should preach, and that is one of the main means of becoming advanced. So different levels of preaching. We're going to.
Last time you gave the definition of preaching, saying it actually means to open one's heart. The duty of all is his heart. So in that sense also we are introducing the double part,
yeah,
who is an open heart. And then
assisting the spirit of the lost one to the Prabhupada.
And that's how a disciple should think, that I'm not preaching because I'm not on that platform, but I'm just doing this for his pleasure. And I'm just assisting him. And if any good is coming from my preaching, that means that he is doing something through me. That's all. It's not me, sir. That's how a disciple should think. Yes. Was that satisfactory? No, it's a good observation.
Normally, you think something that most of the dossier are talking, they are mentioning Ramana Charya and others, they are like Atmanivedan is only attached to Rasa.
Is
Atmanivedan is placed to Rasa?
It means
Satya and Atmanivedan.
Yes. Yes.
How
can
reconcile?
But one can also be Dasyarasya, Dasyaras, and also be on that platform. I think you're thinking specifically about Sakyam. Is that what you're specifically thinking? How could Sakyam and Dasya seem incompatible? But it isn't really, because we're supposed to know that Krishna is the well Suridam Sarvabhutanam. So he is my best friend. We think that we are told that the Bhagavatam is our dearest friend. My Eka Bandhu. So it's not equal friendship. But still it's based on a full giving of oneself. I think in all the rasas, these qualities that can be there if it is based on full surrender. That's my understanding. Any other questions? Also a good question. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srimad Prabhupada Ki Jai.